Well, boys, I want to give a big shout out off the top of the show to the communities of Taree and Kempsey, all along that mid-north coast, heavily affected by the floods up there, Champo. Great to see the community come together, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's been a tough couple of weeks. The rain's been torrential. It's the second biggest flood Kempsey have ever experienced. But like you mentioned, the community rallied together. We're now in the stage of helping clean up. And, you know, some of our actual Mustangs players have been out and helping our sponsors and just the local community as well. Everyone's been ringing around and chipping in. So, you know, through this disaster, it's great to see great humanity and people really working together and bringing the community together so that we can get through this period. It's not going to be easy. A lot of different communities have experienced, and businesses have experienced extreme damage. But again, if we work together, we'll get through this period. But I just want to send all my well wishes to everyone up home. And again, the cleanup will take a little bit of time.
Yeah, send our love out to those communities. It's also Reconciliation Week this week, and great time for people coming together and learning about culture and sharing. And we'll be having that opportunity at the NRL. We've got Cameron Murray coming in to talk about, all the impactful programs that he's involved with over at South in the Indigenous community as a non-Indigenous person, as an ally to the Indigenous community. So really looking forward to that at the NRL this week. But also a big shout out there to South Cares, who ran their clinic on Monday earlier in the week, and a big clinic for the community. All their players were there on Monday, and great initiative to get out there and show some love to the community. Now onto the footy. It was five games of crazy football on the weekend, and it always is around this Origin time. But I saw some things come out in the competition that I thought were making some clear thoughts to me. I thought the Sharks, disappointing on the weekend, going down to the depleted Roosters. Yeah. You know, last week I talked the Sharkies up as finals contenders, and what I saw with them win over the Storm, and they threw it all out the window against the depleted Roosters team on the weekend. So consistency for me is the thing that the Sharks chase. The Warriors and Raiders, they confirmed to me that they're going to be up there in that top four and they'll go close to the grand final this year. In a tough game, the Raiders continue to win the close one. So very impressive. Parramatta, T, I think they can make the eight. Great win for them against Manly on the weekend. And I thought they've tried hard all year and their defence is starting to come together. But is it too much of a crazy call to say that Parramatta will make the eight this year?
Look, Dino, I agree. There was a slow start, but I can see that the pressure is being taken off them, and I think they've turned a corner and, you know, they're playing really good footy, and the Fox, he's still playing really good footy as well.
Yeah, big shout out there to Jason Riles. I think he's doing a great job out there. Now, the Bulldogs, we talk about where they sit in the ladder. Has anyone got the confidence to say that they'll be grand finalists at the end of the year? They've dominated this early part of the season, but a 44-8 loss against the Dolphins at home, that's why I can't confirm the Bulldogs as my grand final team or as a team that I see going deep into the finals this year, babe. What did you make of it?
I think a lot of people are in the same opinion. They've been up for a very long period of time and a lot of these players probably haven't experienced that before and the club itself. So it's a real big test for them now. It's just that they don't go two or three games, you know, in this bit of a slump. If they can turn things around really quickly. The key to the other night was it just was un-Bulldogs-like. Their defence wasn't fantastic. They didn't complete high. They missed a lot of tackles. So I think with the competition at the moment, you have to sort of stop looking week to week and trying to predict or teams getting on a run. You've got to just look at which rosters do you know that when it comes to the back end of the year can perform and do it, you know, for this sort of period of time. It could be one of them years, Dino, but where things go out the window, this top four stat, you know, you have to do this, have to do that. It just seems like everything is so inconsistent at the moment that it's hard to predict. I wouldn't write the Bulldogs off as yet. But if they keep showing me performance like they did in the weekend, you'd have to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, it's been a crazy season. Now, T, last week you said on the show that if the Knights lost to Penrith, that's the end of their season. Now, they had a great win against Penrith. They actually relegated the Panthers to last spot. But the Knights really improved. And a real standout there for me was Dylan Lucas. Now, we haven't talked him up for Origin selection so far this year, Dylan. He's missed a few games, but we involved at All-Stars with Dylan earlier in the year. I've seen his community work that he does. He was attended a social and emotional well-being that the NRL School to Work team ran. And I listened to the guy speak, and he's outstanding the way he presents himself, the way he connects with the community and the way he stands up for our culture. Yep. But tremendous on the field this year. Origin selection for Dill. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Dill in the All-Stars camp. You know, he just shows some really good leadership. He's fast. He hits holes really, really good. The thing is, I like to see him play as a few positions, like, before we start looking at him in Origin. You know, we've got some really big back rowers that are playing in the Origin this week. But for him, if he can play a couple or a few positions, it makes him more of a key role when it comes to utility. Because of his speed, it can be utilised all around the field. But if we just stick him to one position, which is the back row, you know, it could be a problem in Origin, the way that Laurie Daly, you know, has his team, how he stacks his team as big and powerful forwards.
I agree. And the key thing is for it now is to him to do this consistently week in, week out. But I think he's got a lot of tricks and a lot of you know, artillery to his game. Like, he can hit a hole, he can chase down a kick, he's good defensively. So he's got all them key characteristics to be that sort of rep player or origin player. It's now just doing it week in, week out. And he's got an opportunity now because him and Fletcher Sharp have just been the two standouts for Newcastle. So he's got an opportunity now to really take his game to another level and knock on the door for origin selection.
Yeah. I saw the leadership in him, the off-the-field qualities. That tells me that he's going to be a leader long-term in the game at the Knights, but also in the Indigenous space. You know, he represents culture so well. He talks so well to the community. He connects and he's motivated by inspiring the community. But he also steps up as that leader. And you saw that in All-Stars T in a depleted side. He was the one who stood up and led the way in the way the boys were motivated for the game, the way they spoke about it, and the way they prepared for the game going up to it. And I see Dylan Lucas as a leader.
Well, he was one of the leaders within, I think it was 5 minutes when All-Stars were on the try line defending. He was part of that. Like, the way he was moving, getting out, covering tackles, it just shows some really good quality on the field, but as you mentioned, good leader off field.
Now, we're finally getting towards the end of this Lachlan Galvin saga that continues to go in the game. They're saying he's close to doing a deal with the Bulldogs for $300,000 less than what he was getting offered at the Tigers, which is crazy. My big question is, does Lachlan fit into the Bulldogs' plans for this year? Where do you see him playing if he goes to the Bulldogs? And is he going to disrupt that team there?
Well, they're the million-dollar questions, and I don't think they'll be answered until we actually see it. Like, you sit back and you try and pick apart the Bulldogs, and even chemistry-wise, you start to say, what's going to happen with the chemistry? They're going so well, and then you think, does he just slot straight in, and what does the player do that gets moved on? So I'm not sure. I think the Bulldogs see this as a long-term move, and I couldn't see Galvin rushing straight into the team. I think at best he fits onto a bench spot. That's my personal opinion early on. And then if form or injuries do warrant him getting an opportunity, I know that might sound crazy, but when you're putting in an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old and you've got him for a long period of time, it's about working on key parts of his game that are going to develop him into this rep player, origin player, premiership player. That would have been the sell that Gus would have had to him. And he has to now go work on his defence, work on his kicking game, work on key parts of his game that, again, yeah, we've seen glimpse of it with the West Tigers, but the Bulldogs didn't sign him just to come and be a good player. They want premierships.
It's been disruptive in the whole NRL. It's been talked about a lot. Parramatta were involved in the discussions. West Tigers, it's obviously affected their club. Do you see him going to the Bulldogs in a mid-season move as being the end of it, or will it cause more disruption in the NRL in 2025?
Well, it depends. Is he going to this club? Is he going to cause conflict, which is one. The Bulldogs have started their season unreal. Like, just, you know, top of the ladder, consistent, happy club. Now we've got a young kid with a lot of pressure on him coming into a club, and there's going to be a lot of media exposed around it. Are they going to be conflicted, or are they going to go into a dream run and come in and win the grand final? But, you know, there's going to be positional changes. You know, I feel like Tracy's going to be one of the players that probably get the cut from it. But the big thing about Galvin is that he's a fit player. Like, he wins the Broncos. Like, he's got really good endurance. And if Gus is thinking about for the future of the game, if it's going to be a fitness game, then Galvin will fit into this system. But it's going to come down to how is he fit with his personality in the team.
You look at the players that he fell out with at the Tigers. Coruscant and Luai were rumoured to be the two players that said they wanted him dropped. Now, they come from Penrith. Yeah. You go to the Bulldogs, and the leadership group of Kickow, Salmon, Burton and Crichton are all good mates with that Penrith combination. Will that play a part, or is it just something that I'm making up?
Oh, definitely, it could play a part. I think the key with the West Tigers should look at, yeah, they have developed this young individual. Yeah, it has got to a point where he's moving on. But for a long period of time, he's had them at gunpoint, you know, and he's had them in situations where he's been dictating to them. When you're a club, you have to be dictating to the individual. The club is bigger than any individual. Now, whether the Bulldogs don't see that as an issue, or again, you abide by our rules, you know, we've made the change. But them conflicts and them issues, time is a great equaliser. All of these questions will be answered. It's a risky move, but that's what rugby league is these days.
Well, how can we not get excited about Wednesday night, Origin 1, up there at Suncorp Stadium, where the Blues absolutely dominated last year and looking to go up there and defend their title. But it's always tough playing up there. One thing I will say that I've seen differently this year is the coach, Laurie Daly. You know, I went to the Blues dinner last week and I saw Laurie, he's got a new focus on him and he's a real determination about him. If I remember back when I was a kid, Laurie Daly was the most proud, competitive Blues player. I remember when he went off his head about Mal Meninga, going up against Mal Meninga in one of the games, because he wanted to challenge Mal's authority and Mal's leadership. And I see Loz as a real leader. Unfortunately, Loz, in his first coaching stint with the Blues, he was up against the best Queensland team there ever was. But I think he sees this opportunity to go up against this Queensland team now with a Blues team that will be favourites on paper. But he's not going up against Inglis and Thurston and Cameron Smith this time, Billy Slater and the champion side. He's going up against a different Queensland team. And I think he's got a real point to prove as a successful Origin coach that he's got what it takes to take it at this level.
Yeah, Dino, and I've been coached under Loz, and the biggest thing I like about him is that he's an ex-player, ex-New South Wales player, and the way he played, as you mentioned, like, he played with passion, you know, very tough, a great leader, and he brings that sort of leadership into the team. Like, he's very intense, you know, he expects a lot out of you, and he's a person that you don't want to let down. So he's got Bellamy there as well with him, and Bellamy, I was coached under him in 2010, and, you know, I think it's a good mixture of, you know, strategy, but also having an ex-player in there and, you know, bringing that camaraderie and bringing that energy for game one.
And you've been coached by Michael Maguire, and he's a great coach to come in afterwards, isn't he? Because he sets a perfect foundation for a coach to come in.
For sure. I think Madge set that, like you said, that great foundation last year, and it's a similar sort of squad. As you said, I think with Laurie, we've been coached by Laurie as well too. He's very approachable, but you look at him like a legend, because as a kid growing up, you used to watch Origin and idolise these sort of people. So anything he says, you take on board. And I think, like you said, Dino, too, it's a real opportunity for him, because there is no Inglis, Slater, Smith. So this is his real good opportunity, especially with the team that he's got.
Well, there is a Slater, and he's on the coaching for the Queensland team. Billy will definitely two of the great coaches in the game at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how Billy goes up against it as underdogs. One thing I think that Billy's going to need to work for him is Tino Fasulmalawi is going to need to have a massive game. Yeah. He's going to be... when I look across that Queensland forward pack, I see Tino, he's probably the one player that I fear out of the Queensland team. And we've got Payne Haas, we've got Angus Crichton, Spencer Lenu are going to add the fire and the power to the forward pack for the Blues.
Yeah.
I think that's matched by Tino on the other side. And he's been great for the Titans this year in a side that it's underperformed. Yep. He's led them well. Underdogs isn't going to worry Tino, and I think he could be in for a big game, and he could be a key to getting it done for Queensland.
You hit the nail on the head there, Dino, too. I think, you know, look at the New South Wales team, all aggressive. And then the Queensland, they're all workers and toilers, except for probably Tino and Collins off the bench. So Tino's got a huge job, but he doesn't take a backward step. He'll go toe-to-toe with these New South Wales forwards, and it just adds to the theatre of the game.
Now, I know one player, T, that you love watching, and he's the real X factor for this Queensland team, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. He's in great form. He's one of the best backs we've got in the game at the moment.
Yeah, I'm loving Hamiso, the way he plays. He's just exciting. But the thing that I like about him is he's speed, and he's agile, and he's unpredictable. And he's going to come up against Crichton, which is going to be a very good contest. And the thing is that Crichton, he's probably, bar none, the best NRL player in the game as a centre. But when it comes to representative level, Hamiso is the best. And you can see with his stats, like 56 tackle breaks. You know, we looked at the Kangaroos and the Pacific Champs, like he if he wasn't there, Tonga would have won in the Pac Champs last year. So for me, Hamaso is going to be, you know, a very dangerous player against Stephen Crichton.
I think Origin suits Hamaso so well because I think we're going to look back in 10 years' time at a Hamaso Tabio with them stats, 8 tries in 11 games. Like, we're going to look back in 10 years and he's going to be one of the greats, I think, for Queensland. The thing that suits him so well, in Origin, everyone's under so much fatigue. And you got speed and footwork and class. It just suits his game so well. At a club level, it's like up to Hamaso to come up with something all the time or a big run or do something on your own. At that level, everyone's under fatigue and he's got speed, which allows him to, again, burn players, but also pop up on tries or, again, intercepts. He's got the full package. So defensively, he's been really good there as well. And I think centre actually suits him at Origin level. So it's going to be interesting to see best defender up against best attacker. It's a great matchup.
Well, also, yeah, like with Hamaso, like you see the likes of, you know, when you compare him, you can't compare him to a Hodges or GI. Like, I've played against Hodges, I've played against GI. They're always predictable what they're going to do. GI, you always knew that he had a big palm or a big bump coming. With Hodges, you knew that big right foot step. Even though you knew that, it was hard to defend. But with Hamaso, you just can't predict anything. Like, he's just, he hasn't got a big step, he hasn't got a big palm, he's just an awkward player and he's just got a lot of speed. So if I'm Crichton, I do not want to have him sitting on my outside because he can burn me.
And he's made for the big occasion, Hamaso. He plays with a smile on his face and he plays with no pressure. You look at some of the big centres that we've talked about, Latrell Mitchell on the Bush, they're ferocious, they're aggressive, they're powerful, they come out and they put fear in you. How do you see a player smiling at you on the opposite side? Just do it so smoothly. And Hamaso, definitely going to be a player that we're keen to watch on Wednesday night. Now, as we move forward to Thursday night and the Women's Origin 3 up there in Newcastle, the Blues with a chance of a clean sweep, 3-0 series win. First Origin clean sweep we'll have since 2000. So a good opportunity there for the Blues. But, champ, you're bringing some Kempsey girls down for this game.
Yeah, it's awesome. The community have come together and really rallied behind our under-14s and under-16s Kempsey Dragons girls. Great community leaders on and off the field. And we're sending them down to the game actually on Thursday night. And they're super excited. It'll probably be about 45, 50 young girls. Krista and Simone Smith have done some great jobs. We've got some 100 clubs and different orgs have chopped in. So really exciting for them. But it should be an awesome game.
Yeah, they'll love that, the girls up there from Kempsey. Now, a few changes to the Queensland team. Ali Brigginshaw goes a lot. Keely Joseph, Tamika Upton, massive outs for Queensland. The Blues, no changes. They've been dominant through the middle and the backs, everywhere all over the field. I can see this only going one way.
Yeah, it's a hard one, eh? I think it's a pride versus legacy moment here. It comes down to Queensland. Where's their pride? What is the motivation that's happening this week in camp? You know, what are they talking about? What's going to motivate them? And it's going to be pride at the end of the day. And with New South Wales, it's all about legacy, eh? Like, dead rubber. They've won the series. Do they go in and just say, you know what, let's just play footy? Or do they go, you know what, no, we want to go do a whitewash and we want to start a legacy? So it'll be pretty interesting in seeing what both teams run out and produce.
Now, Queensland do move Upton every time they sort of come under this pressure. It's worked for them in the past. But she goes up against one of the greats in Olivia Koenig, who's absolutely killing it lock for New South Wales. The Blues forwards have been dominant in the first two games. Yeah. And Ali played off the back of a beaten pack and couldn't create much as a half.
Yeah.
How do you see the change to lock? I think it's going to make things worse.
Yeah, Brigginshaw you mean there, Dino. But it's going to be tough. But when they do seem to struggle, Queensland, they move Brigginshaw. There's no Upton as well. It's going to be even harder. Like you said, it's going to be pride versus legacy. And there's blood in the water. And class, I think, will just overcome, especially in the second half of the game. It's going to be very hard for Queensland.
Remote communities, it's all about giving kids opportunities to just express themselves and be able to showcase their talents. There's so much natural ability here, and to give them the opportunity to experience something they don't really get the chance to, it's just really important for a level of growth and to learn something new and just to have fun.
Yeah, it's a real eye-opener for myself personally. I'd love for my kids to come out and experience it themselves just to see how grateful these kids are. They don't have too much on the island, but they're so happy. You know, they're learning heaps out there as well. No shoes on their feet, but they're so happy. So it was great to get amongst it, get out there, spread the gospel of rugby league, and also teach them a little bit about state of mind.
I remember hearing Takarangi talking about, you know, like support staff and how, you know, who's the people that supported him. And I think it's pretty good, like, especially for our kids as well. They got, like, their family plus, you know, like, the people that they know within the community, you know, that can support them as well.
Yeah, I loved it, especially as a Torres Strait Islander woman. Seeing some of the similarities too between the different cultures, and the kids were like, what do you mean that you guys have turtles and dugongs and crocodiles in the Torres Strait? So it was just really nice to have that, you know, back and forth, especially with culture, but then seeing how different it was in the Tiwi Islands too. So
being in communities, they grow up in really tough conditions, and their social and emotional well-being's crucial to their development. And we always have lots of chats about resilience and determination and honesty and respect. It's all a part of the school rules, and it really helps them develop into their adult lives as well. Without that social and emotional well-being and that development, they won't be set up for a future. So it's really, really crucial.
I think it's always a good reminder too, like, you know, we're constantly talking about it, but when you've got people out here that are different from the usual faces they see talking about it and reinforcing how it's helped them get to where they are as well, it just gives the kids a little bit more of a chance to go, wow, you know, this is me being resilient, me bouncing back is really important for me to get where I want to go in life.
What's important is if the kids see it, they can be it. You know, that idea that if you get experience and you see someone looks a bit like you, who's got the same kind of story as you, and they've achieved at the highest level, that gives the kids a bit of confidence that maybe they can do that one day.
Talisha Harden, you know, like, yeah, she's one of the person that probably will going to inspire a lot of our Tiwi kids here.
To have someone like T come through and, you know, just say, hey, I'm here, I've done it, you know, I'm like you, priceless.
Touched on the values of gratitude, support and resilience, and it was actually really cool to see the buy-in from the younger kids especially. You know, they put their hands up to try and answer all the questions, and it was nice too because you could see them reflect and actually talk to each other and say, oh, I'm really grateful for my teachers or for my school or, you know, for my friends and family, and that made it really special as well.
Even in a community like Perlengimpi, which doesn't, you don't get to go to McDonald's every weekend, you don't get to go to the mall, there is lots to be thankful for, lots to be grateful for.
The most enjoyable part of any organisation coming out is just the smiles on the kids' faces. Like, we just love seeing them have fun and being able to do something new. It's just, it fills you with so much joy.
You know, I'd encourage the NRL to get out to as many remote communities as possible, because you can see how much it means to the kids, to the families, to the wider community, to have people come in and spend time and, you know, not just be there to tick and flick a box, but actually build connections. And it might be, you know, a few days in our life, but it can really mean a lot to people for a long, long time.
A great program there, the NRL State of Mind program, and in a beautiful location up there in the Tiwi Islands, doing some amazing stuff there, addressing mental health there. And great to see two great role models there, and Brad Takarangi, and of course our deadly there sister there, Talisha Harden, doing amazing things, and I know she'll have a great impact up there. Now, the weekend of footy, well, actually, it's going to be a big week of footy, because we start Wednesday with Origin, we go through to on Sunday, there's a load of games to watch, some big ones I want to watch, the Cowboys versus West Tigers, Rabbitohs up against the Warriors there, it's good to see the Rabbitohs continue to build their season. Eels versus Panthers going to be good, the two Origin halves for the Blues could be going up against each other, and Cleary and Moses, that'll be really interesting to watch. Roosters v Raiders, another one to catch there. But this matchup that I'm looking forward to, Cowboys versus Tigers, Scott Drinkwater versus Jareem Buller. Yeah. Now, Drinkwater, he's been a player that we've talked about as a contender for this Origin fullback job for a long time. He certainly adds a lot to any football team that he plays in. Going up against Jareem Buller will be a good clash of the fullbacks.
Yeah, this is an awesome matchup, Dino. I've been watching Jareem Buller pretty closely as well. I know that Drinkwater's been around for a long period of time. When he's playing good, the Cowboys are playing good. But Buller, when he gets the ball on the edges, he seems to beat that first defender every single time. They're two exciting players, two different players. But again, this weekend of football, Dino, it's just, it's like, what's going to happen? Because there's so many upsets, so many different things that happen. It's very unpredictable. And these two fullbacks, they're very much the same.
Scott Drinkwater probably at the height of his powers. He's got all the skills in attack. You know, he's been noted as an attacking player. Great passing game, ability to read the game. But Jareem Buller is a powerful, big, strong player for the Tigers. He's developing his combinations with Lua. How do you see this one going?
Well, I see Scott Drinkwater. If he gets the ball early, which he likes getting the ball early when he's coming around the back on a sweep, he tends to know who to hit at the right time. And last year, he caused a lot of havoc at Leichhardt Oval last year. But Jareem Buller, he's young. He's an athlete, as you mentioned, but he's growing each game. And I feel like he's the future for the Tigers. If the Tigers want to build a team, like Jareem Buller is one of the players that they need to focus on as well.
A lot of Tigers fans out there would be thinking, where is the future of our side as they talk about losing Galvin? Yeah. But you look at the spine, Coruscant, Luai's in there, very experienced player, and he's definitely stepped up as a leader in this team this year. And Jareem is a big part of it there at the fullback. And Jareem's only a young player. He had a few injuries last year. He's still developing his confidence at this level.
Yeah.
I can see a big future ahead for Jareem Buller.
For sure. He's got all of the attributes, and you see it at occasions where he just really lights up games. With Jareem now, it's just about, again, being consistent at it. You know, players can do it for 1 week or, you know, 4 weeks, but it's about, again, doing it for that long period of time. That's when you really start to look at these players and go, wow, and you notice them a lot more. As I said, there's been a few games this year where I've looked at him and gone, wow, but it's just getting that consistency phase. He's got GI in his corner as well, which is teaching him that fullback position. But the Tigers have still got a bright future ahead. Like you mentioned, they've got good young players coming through. They're defending really well. They've lost a few games this year just by 2 or 4 points, and they're right around the 8.
I'm puzzled by the Cowboys this year. Mm. Some weeks they're outstanding. You know, in the last couple of seasons there, they were looking as real premiership contenders. You thought their next premiership was close by. They've been disappointing for me this year. What do they have to do to get it right?
I don't know what's going on, because if you look at that side, there's a lot of representative players in there, Queensland players, there's some really good players in there, and it seems that they just can't pull it together. I don't know if it's the coaching side of it or if it's the team morale, but their culture is slowly backsliding, and the club needs to do some desperate measures if they want to, you know, pick up their season. They're still in the top 8, I think, but they're slowly backsliding, and they need to win this game to try and uplift their season.